Assalamu alaikum. You are now listening to a talk series about the prophets mentioned in the Quran by Sheikh Ahmed Al-Nashash.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa afdalu salatu wa atammu taslim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So we stopped in the first part when Musa alayhi salam arrived Madian and he helped the two girls. They went back to their father early and he said to them, "Why you are early?" And they said, "There is a man helped us." So he asked one of them to go and talk to that man, bring him so he can thank him. And the Quran talking about this in a very beautiful way in Surah Al-Qasas. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فجاءته إحداهما تمشي على استحياء قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا فلما جاءه وقص عليه القصص قال لا تخف نجوت من القوم الظالمين. So one of them came to Musa walking in a very shy way. And she said to Musa, "My father is calling you to reward you for what you did." So when Musa alayhi salam arrived there and told that old man the story and what happened to him, he said to him, "La takhaf, don't worry, you are saved from the wrongdoers." Now the scholars here, they have different opinions, who is that man? They said he's Shu'aib, and this is the most famous opinion, and Hassan al-Basri, Malik ibn Anas. And in one of the hadiths, it's mentioned that he's Shu'aib. Ibn Kathir is saying he's not sure about this. And another narration saying that, yes, that man is Shu'aib, but he is not the prophet Shu'aib. And another narration saying, no, he is a man from the people of Shu'aib. And in the Torah, they mention that man is Yathron. And they said Yathron Kahin Madian. So Yathron was the religious person of Madian, and he was a scholar there. So doesn't matter what is the name of that person, the whole idea that person is a righteous person. Then one of the ladies said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قالت إحداهما يا أبت استأجر إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. So one of the ladies, she said, "Oh my father, ask this man to work for us, and the best person who can work for you is al-qawi, the strong, and Amin, honest." And he asked her, "How do you know that he's qawi, Amin?" She said, "Qawi, strong, because he managed to pull or move that rock which was on the mouth of the well by himself. And usually it needs maybe about 10 people to move it." He said, "That's fine. So how do you know that he's Amin, honest?" She said, "When we were back, when you sent me to call him, and in the way back, I was walking in front of him to tell him where to go. And while we are walking, there was wind, and the wind was moving my clothes. So maybe he noticed that, so he can see my leg or part of my leg. So he said, okay, come and be behind me and I'll be in the front. And you can have some stones. And if you'd like me to go right or left, just throw the stone to the right so I can go right, or just throw the stone to the left so I can go to the left. And subhanAllah al-Azim, this is shows us, brothers and sisters, how Musa alayhi salam was an honest man and how a very shy person and a person who's applying really what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us in the Quran, غض البصر, to lower your gaze. Not like many people these days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and guide them who really most of the time staring and they don't think about this is something haram. The father listened to the suggestion of his daughter. And he spoke to Musa alayhi salam now, and he said to him, look, now you'd like to work for me. And here there is two girls. Obviously, because there is two girls here, and it's not appropriate that you work here and there's two girls and there is no relation, proper relation. So I think the best way is you'll marry one of them and then the other will be your sister-in-law. So you can live here, work here, and all of us, we are applying the Sharia rules here. But to do this, yani, to give you my daughter, and obviously you don't have any money, so the dowry of this that you work for me. How many years? You will work 8 years. And if you make it 10, this will be great. So he said to him, قال إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى ابنتي هاتين على أن تأجرني 8 حجج فإن أتممت 10 فمن عندك وما أريد أن أشق عليك ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصالحين. So he said, I will make you marry one of these two girls and the dowry will be you work for me 8 years. If you finish 10, this is from your generosity, and I will not make your life hard. So you'll find me very, very nice, very kind, and inshallah you'll find me a righteous person. Musa alayhi salam accepted and started working to that man, if he's shy or anyone else. And there is a hadith about that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَجَرَ نَفْسَهُ بِعِفَّةِ فَرْجِهِ وَطُعْمَةِ بَطْنِهِ. So Musa, he agreed to work to be sure that he's a righteous person, that he is not committing anything haram when it comes to the sexual relation, and also that he will be fed for that work. Musa alayhi salam accepted and he said, ذلك بيني وبينك أيما الأجلين قضيت فلا عدوان علي والله على ما نقول وكيل. So Musa alayhi salam, he said, okay, I agree, this between me and you, and if I finish 8 or 10, this will be between me and you. And there is no harm. If I finish 8, so I done the agreement. If I'd like to do 10, I done the agreement. So he started working there, and now the ayahs doesn't say how long he stayed there. The ayah says only the explanation, but there's hadith عن ابن عباس that رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال سألت جبريل أي الأجلين قضى موسى قال أتمهما وأكملهما. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said I asked جبريل which of these 8 or 10 he said موسى عليه السلام he completed the complete one. So the idea is that Musa alayhi salam completed the 8 or 10 years according to this hadith, which might not be very authentic. He completed 10. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam, despite the fact that we believe that a great prophet like this, who's working there, enjoying the company of that great man, and he's, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, he was saved from Pharaoh. Now, the 8 years or the 10 years finished, and Musa alayhi salam now is going back to Egypt, inshaAllah ta'ala. Before we move to the next part of Musa's story, alayhi salatu wassalam, I would like to talk about Surah Al-Qasas, where the birth of Musa, alayhi salam, was mentioned, and some part of his story also was mentioned. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Taasim. تلك آيات الكتاب المبين نتلو عليك من نبأ موسى وفرعون بالحق لقوم يؤمنون إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين ونمكن لهم في الأرض ونري فرعون وهامان وجنودهما منهم ما كانوا يحذرون. These six ayahs really talks about very important part of the life of Musa alayhi salam, and in it there is a message to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers at that time, and the message to us these days. We shall relate to you some of the story of Moses and Pharaoh, setting forth the truth for people who will believe. Verse 3. It is then to the believers that this book is addressed. It is meant to remold and cultivate them, pointing out their way for them and showing them the code to implement. The stories related in this surah are meant for those believers because they are the ones who will benefit from them. This direct relation from God imparts an air of the special care taken of believers, making them feel worthy and important. How could they feel to realize this when it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that relates his book to his messenger for their own sake? Being believers, they have the necessary qualities to receive such sublime care for people who will believe. لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ The surah then relates the story of Musa and Fir'aun. Right from its very first moment, when Musa was born. Although Musa's story is related in many other surahs, it is never recounted from the very beginning anywhere else. This is the only surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about Musa from the first minutes, when his mom was pregnant with him, and during that, then after the birth, and all of these things. It is this very beginning describing the difficult circumstances in which Musa was born, powerless among a people who had long been persecuted and humiliated by Fir'aun, that serves as the main theme of the surah. It shows the hand of the divine will working openly without any apparent human medium, striking directly at the root of tyranny and injustice. It thus gives support and empowerment to the oppressed. This is a concept that the small and weak Muslim minority in Mecca needed to fully understand. It was equally important that the powerful majority be made well aware of it too. And these days, as Muslims, when we look at the general status of the Ummah, how weak we are and how Muslims are humiliated in different places on the earth, how we should all the time remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, is the only controller of this world. And what we see in this world, only part of the whole story. But the only religion which will prevail and establish justice and peace is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Islam. In the majority of cases, Musa's story frequently related in other surahs begins with him receiving his message, giving an account of how strong faith stands up to tyrannical power, and eventually leading to the triumph of faith and the defeat of tyranny. But this is not the message in this surah. Its message is that when evil is at its zenith, it carries the cause of its own destruction. And when aggression is let loose, it does not need people to fight and repel it. Allah will intervene to support the powerless who are made to suffer at its hands. He will then save the good element among them, educating them and making them leaders of mankind and the inheritors of the earth. Such, brothers and sisters, is the purpose of relating this story in this surah. Hence, it begins with the episode that highlights this aspect. Every story related in the Quran is told in the way that best serves the purpose of the surah in which it occurs. It is a means to educate people and emphasize concepts, values, and meanings. Hence, it is made to fit smoothly with the context in which it occurs. The episodes of Musa's story that are told here are those of his birth in exceptionally difficult circumstances, and how Allah took care of him, his youth, and the wisdom and knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala imparted to him. It also covers the events that occurred, how he killed an Egyptian, fled from Egypt after learning about a plot to kill him, his marriage in the land of Midian, and the time he spent there. It then moves on to his being called by Allah and given his message, the confrontation with Pharaoh and his people, and how they rejected both Musa and Harun, and finally a quick reference to Pharaoh, to Pharaoh's ultimate end. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the important lessons that we learn from this surah is in the ayah number 6, 7 and 8. Actually, ayah number 7, it is a miracle in itself. How it is a miracle? Because normally, if you'd like to save someone, you will not throw that person in the sea. You will try to hide that person, run away with him to another place, trying your best to save him. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us something very, very important. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes something to happen, He can change all the circumstances to serve that purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the mother of Musa to breastfeed him. And he said to her, فَإِذَا خِفْتَ عَلَيْهِ, if you are scared, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِ, then throw him in the sea. Allahu Akbar. The idea is that how the mother will accept this fact, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the circumstances to suit the next episode in this story. So the mother submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made that river to carry Musa specifically to the area where Pharaoh and his wife and his servants were on that day. They were on the River Nile, enjoying themselves. They are not expecting at all that this river will carry to them their destruction. This is in ayah 6, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ. We will show Pharaoh, Haman, his minister, their soldiers, what they were aware of. They are planning. They are killing the boys of Bani Israel to serve or to save that kingdom. This is the whole idea of killing the boys. Then the river will carry to them, while they are enjoying themselves, a box. And in that box, there is a boy. And that boy will carry the destruction of their kingdom at that time. And this is very important to learn. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes to save a nation, He will make all the circumstances, the details, everything to serve the survival of that nation. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to destroy a nation, then He subhanahu wa ta'ala can destroy that nation by a box, and that box carries a baby in it, and that baby, he will be the cause of the destruction of that empire or that nation at that time. So here we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he'd like to make the things happening, he might make the nation itself, because of the oppression that they are practicing, injustice that they are doing, make them destroy themselves, destroy internally. They don't need someone come to from outside. And maybe the destruction can happen through very, very minor thing. And as we know, this can be applied to nations, can be applied to families or individuals. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save all of us from destruction. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You have just been listening to a talk series about the prophets mentioned in the Quran by Sheikh Ahmed Al-Nashash. Tune in every evening from 9:30 to 10:30 to hear the next chapter.